and welcome to the Bond Handyman Show. Show number 99 on this election day, November 2nd, 2004. And we're recording as we speak at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas, for the next
hour.
Well,
some of us are.
Do what?
Some of us are
well,
recording.
Well, some of us are in the little trailer house on Morris Road in Diboll, Texas. But anyway, we can still talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Our host, ladies and gentlemen, for the show, John Shaw.
Well, Mr. Time, what's happening with you on this rainy day, man?
It's awful wet out here. My yard is just, I mean, you step out in the yard, you may sink down up to your calf, you know?
As long as it dries out in time for you to go to Houston this weekend.
Oh, I'll be going to Houston. Rain, shine, snow, sleet, hail, whatever. We'll go to Houston.
All right.
Don Patterson, hi there.
Well, I thought you were in Burke. Why are you giving a diabolical address?
Get up to your mic there, Donald.
I thought you were in Burke. Why are you
using... Why can't I hear Donald, I wonder?
Why can't you hear Donald?
You can't hear Donald.
You can't hear Donald?
I can hear him in the background,
but I
don't hear him.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes.
Anyway, you can hear him, right?
I can hear everybody, but you ought to be able to hear Don.
Yeah, he ought to be coming right through the line, too.
See, I'm checking here. Everything looks normal.
I think he's just saying that.
I think he's just saying that.
I'm the driver, Tom Houston, by the way, for this group, folks. But here he is. Here's the guy that's responsible for all this, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Here he is, Phil Parr. I love doing that.
Let's see. What if I could turn this like this? Okay. Well, maybe. Okay. I bet I got it now. Now try Patterson.
Right, Tom.
There he is. Now he's here.
There he is.
I'm going to repeat my question. Why are you using a Diboll instead of Burke?
Well, I don't know, because I guess my mail comes to Diboll,
yeah.
And the 75941 zip code is called Diboll for some reason, even though I am in the Burke city limit.
Well, do you know, like, most people send Lufkin, Texas for our address, but we, like the phone company or the light company, one of them uses Hudson.
Is that
right? You know, we're not in the, I get one thing that comes to Hudson and still finds me, so.
Yeah.
But I've had that same question ever since I lived out here. So and nobody's answered it yet. But
well, I think you know they don't create mail districts. Lufkin's a mail district, and Diboll is, and Burke and Hudson aren't. You know, or I think that probably has to do with the federal government.
Okay.
That's right. It's a sad thing, the federal government, isn't it?
Did you vote today, Phil?
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, good.
I did, but
everybody ought to go out and vote.
I canceled
There's a guy sitting across from me who canceled my vote.
I canceled his vote.
Oh, did you really?
Canceled my vote, yes.
I went out Friday and voted early. I was downtown Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tried to get Don Shaw to come and cancel you out. he said nothing doing.
We were going to go vote early and didn't, and I don't know why we didn't. I can't, you know, well, I do know why, but I better not say.
Were the lines long, Phil?
Wasn't anybody in there with us.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I was the only game in town.
I mean, you had to stand in line. You really did.
There were three or four people in there. There was two people that we knew that were, I guess, Democratic poll watchers, and there were three or four other people in there giving us dirty looks. And so you'd assume that they're effing Republicans. And so we went on and voted, and there were... probably six people in the whole thing. You say you were the only one in your deal, Pat?
There were two other people. The lady said they had been busy, but I mean, they had about like seven or eight stalls there to vote, so there were only two people. We're real informal here. We don't have curtains or anything. You can kind of see what's going on. In fact, here in East Texas, you can walk up and ask a guy, hey, what'd you put on yours?
we're using paper.
You really can.
Plain old paper ballots. No voting machines for us. We're just plain piece of paper that they can count if they need to recall, and of course they won't. Well, how long is the closing theme, Mr. Tom Houston? Do you know?
It's 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
Shawboy?
2:40.
2:40. So at about, let's see, what time? We want to make it 59 minutes long, so 57. So at about 56:20, right?
58:20.
That's right, 57, 58, 20, 59,
Unless you didn't allow for the minute and 15 seconds up front.
We didn't.
Well, then you would add it to that, then.
We didn't. So 57:20 would do it, right?
5720 would get you right on the 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, 57.
So you would want to do it a minute and 15 seconds earlier.
Yeah.
So 5605.
5705, 5805. That'd put you at
5845.
45. Okay. Actually wouldn't. That'd put you at 5825.
Oh, okay.
Close enough.
So, anyway, what time we need to start the thing? 56, 57. And we'll start at 5610.
I don't know. Just start at 56.
Call us and tell us when to do it. I have no idea.
Yeah, that'd probably be the
same. I have a question for Tom before he gets on the email.
All right.
Why did Jerry Hunsicker resign from the Astros?
I don't know. In fact, that's news to me. I have not watched any news the last couple of days. When did you hear about this?
I watched it on Channel 11 yesterday, but they didn't say why. But Drayton McLean came on right behind him. I don't know if they were at the same place, but he didn't seem too disappointed. And he just said the only thing that had disappointed him, they hadn't won a World Series. But then you would think they parted in kind of good company because his assistant is going to take his place, and normally they don't do that. You know, when they get rid of somebody, they just kind of get somebody else.
Yeah.
But
That's strange.
Yeah, after 9 years, I thought he had done pretty good.
Yeah, they had the best year ever this year.
Yep.
And then he's gone, huh?
Yep, out.
Well, one of the reasons we haven't won a World Series is because Drayton McLean is such a cheapie, right? Isn't
that? That may be what Jerry told him.
Maybe that's why Jerry's out, reckon?
I think he's going to be in Houston Sunday, isn't he, Phil?
Who is that?
Drayton McLean.
He's going to be in Houston at our gathering Sunday.
He's going to be at the Blind Handy Man.
We'd love to have him if he'd like to come.
Taping of the 100th show.
Even though we called him cheap, I don't know him. He may be. We'll have some other cheap folks with us. I won't name them, but we
well, I'll be there.
Anyway, we'll be in Houston. We'll be in Houston when this plays, won't we?
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
We will.
We sure will.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Here's keeping the nail straight, subject on this particular list mail.
All right.
Says, hi, folks. Is there any device that will enable me to keep a nail straight while hammering it into a wooden surface? Other than my fingers, of course.
Yeah.
And where might I find a good selection of smaller-sized hammers? All the tools in this house were bought by my dad, and the only hammers we own are very large and very heavy. I can use them, but would prefer something lighter and smaller. Thanks, Anne.
Remember the guy that, we had somebody that wrote in this, Donald Shaw, didn't they, one time that said, what you do is take different size holes in a board along a line. In other words, you drill holes of different sizes, and then you cut the board in two in the middle of the hole.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Which would leave little notches in the board for you to prop up, put up against your nail to hold your nail straight.
Which is a fine idea.
That would work.
Which is a wonderful idea, unless you drill a hole in the board big enough for the head of the nail to slip through, and then you just slip it down in there. But that, you know, take a board and drill several different size holes along in a straight line, and then cut the board in two in the middle of those holes, and bingo, you got a little notched board to do nails with.
Well, the main thing, too, is, even though I'm a very good partial, and I don't know if our person here is totally blind or has some partial sight, but regardless, you do not look at, you don't need to look at the nail in the middle of my project, but you need to learn to hold that with your hands. You don't take a major swing, with your hammer while you're setting your nail. But to keep it straight, you would need that little jig. But if you tap it down pretty good, about three little taps, you can normally drive it in straight. Also, though, I have a comment on the hammer situation. You know, it's really the weight of the hammer that does the job.
Obviously, yes.
But it's like baseball bats. They come in different size, I guess, ounces. Or, you can spend a lot of money on hammers, which you don't want to do. Now, I gave Emily, my wife, a little tack hammer, and it's shaped just like a regular hammer, but it's just smaller. But believe it or not, outside of maybe a picture hanger in sheetrock, you couldn't do much with it. So if you're going to do some serious nailing, you could probably find something lighter than maybe what you have, but you don't want too small.
Or you can
go to... It would probably work you to death.
Yeah, it would just...
you can go to Lowe's, I'm sure, Home Depot, Linda, I'm sorry, Home Depot, and they probably have every size hammer you'd want.
Oh, yeah, big selection of different weights.
They'd have any size. But you know, I use the old two-tap system where you go pop, 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 pop.
Right.
Where you tap it to make sure you're on what you want, and then give it a good stout lick. But don't hold the hammer back there at the end of the handle and swing at it like you'd swing it at a golf ball, because you're going to hurt yourself if you do. You know, I get up close to the head of the hammer and just tap, 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 tap. And it takes a little longer that way. But, of course, remember building the steps? I got my thumb twice in one day.
Man,
my God, I thought
It really isn't funny. I don't know why I'm laughing.
I know why you're laughing.
Well, I consider myself pretty good with a hammer, but I've got a black fingernail right now. Missed and got my left index finger.
If you're doing little work, like if you're building birdhouses or picture frames or little things, the best thing to do is go and buy a little tacker gun like Don Shaw has. You have a little electric
electric nail gun.
Yeah. If you don't have an air compressor, go buy yourself a little electric nail gun. I think yours will shoot inch and a half, won't it?
Inch and a quarter.
Inch and a quarter nails.
And brads, littler, smaller brads.
And a little smaller. And they call it a little brad gun, but they're, what, $30? How much?
Yeah,
how much,
$30.
That's, if you're going to, and if you're framing nails, you need a big heavy hammer, and you set that nail and whack the hell out of it, you know?
Yep.
How many have you bent, Pat?
Well, I'll tell you, not very many. I bought some really good nails from at Lowe's. Now, then I went to the Tin Barn, and I must have gotten some from China, and a couple of those bent, but actually not very many.
All right. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, here's one on air conditioning filters. She says, since they're not going to replace our filters as often as it needs to be done, how do I measure for the correct size, and has anyone got any recommendations of brands to try at moderate prices? I have a dog and a pretty serious sinus problem at times, so I need a good one. Many thanks, Darla.
Well, you measure the inside diameter of that thing, but if the filter that you took out will say on it what size it is. That's just when you've almost got to have... and she lives in a deal where they're supposed to maintain her.
Her maintenance is really bad, isn't it?
Her maintenance is terrible. You didn't see that thing she posted about water in the floor?
Yeah, no kidding.
And most standard standard in the house, the big returner is, what, 20 by 25? Isn't that kind of common?
I don't know.
Yeah, but ours is like 16 by 25.
Well, okay, mine's 24 by 24.
All
so
different.
Well, see, I have two. One is like 12 by 24, but then the other one is 20 by 25. I think that kind of all around here seems to be fairly standard. So.
But
the old filter.
Yeah.
If you go to Walmart or Kmart or any of those places, you'll find racks of filters, all different sizes.
And prices.
But you measure, if you're going to change it every 15, 20 days, just buy the cheapest one you can buy.
That's what I would do, buy the cheapest.
And because Tom, you use the kind that you wash, right?
Yes, I've got one. There are two, one on each side, and you pull them out, and you clean them, and then you put them back in.
Yeah, and they're a little more expensive, but they last longer. I've heard they restrict airflow, though.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. They seem to be doing the job pretty well. I think a lot of people do this. They go by their electric bill.
Yeah.
And when you get your electric bill, you just take your filters out of your air conditioner and take them into the kitchen sink and get the little squirter there and squirt them on the backside and squirt all the stuff out, dry them out, and put them back in.
And stick them back in.
Yeah, that's a good idea about the electric bill as a reminder for your filter changing.
Right. Uh-huh. And it comes here at the first of every month.
Yeah.
So that way you can keep them clean, and you don't. If you use the electric bill to clue you to do it, It works out pretty good.
That's right.
I changed mine because my audible date is the 26th, and that's when I change mine. I do everything on the...
It's a reminder, isn't it?
I give the dogs their little worm thing that you put on the back of their neck and change my air conditioner filters.
Yeah.
And for me, that's about a day's work at my age. It's pretty awesome. I can handle.
Well, at my house, I go when the warden says, when are you going to change that filter?
Oh, that's good. Well, you've got three dogs now, don't you, Don?
Three dogs.
It's a three-dog family.
It is. It's got three dogs.
Three dogs.
That's right.
What a deal.
He wasn't having that, but he is. It's amazing. You got one more?
Yes, sir. This is from Darla also. She says, I just went into my kitchen to cook some lunch, and I found one of my carpet pieces completely saturated with water.
Yep.
I don't want to think that Nuance urinated on it, but how can I be really sure? It doesn't seem to smell. It looks like an awful lot to be urine, and I've had water problems here off and on, but I don't know anything in the apartment above me that could leak into here, but who knows? So how can she be sure?
Well, I told her to take that piece of carpet and move it, put another one where it was, and put a paper towel on top of it and set a bucket on top of the paper towel. So you need to know whether it came from down under or up above.
Yeah, or from above.
Or from above. And, you know, I just can't. Where would water, where would it come from?
Well, is it in her kitchen?
Yep.
No, I mean, you know, just a one time. I mean, did she say a lot of water? Did she drop an ice cube? Somebody drop an ice cube?
I've done that. I've done that and not been able to find it and just, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, an ice cube.
But, I mean, sometimes it's a thing for sighted people. If you got somebody's got some sight, look at the ceiling. If there's a round stain,
then it came from there.
It came from there.
There you
know.
But when you're washing dishes, I have accidentally just, you know, you're kind of moving the little sprayer around, and you just, and sighted people would do the same thing. Just accidentally, you just get water everywhere.
Well, yeah. True, and there again, I don't know where she is or what the status is, you know, but we've just moved into our house there in February, yeah. And I found water on the floor, and our new dishwasher was leaking.
Little
gasket by the around the door wasn't seated properly. So
is Nuance? She's talking about Nuance. It must be an animal. Is it a dog or a cat?
Yeah.
Anybody know?
Probably Nuance, and it's probably her CNI dog. You think?
Okay. Nuance.
Nuance. Nuance. Like a nuance. Like a that was sort of a nuanced statement you made.
I think if it was Nuance, she would probably know it.
Probably. You would think.
Yeah, I think it would smell a little bit.
You think it would have a little odor?
Well, it would probably be a lot of...
Probably be a little essence of nuance, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
a little
essence of nuance.
Yeah.
Well, most CNI dogs are trained pretty good, so they probably wouldn't be going in the floor, wouldn't they?
You wouldn't think so.
CNI dogs have accidents also. We're going to be around... You're going to know
we're
because...
We're going to see lots of dogs.
I think there'll be 9 of them this weekend.
Oh, boy.
Plenty of guide dogs.
I'm bringing mine. There's actually going to be 10.
There's going to be 10 amongst
ten dogs and about 26 people.
In fact, I wonder if they'd believe that I had 3 CNI dogs.
I don't know.
I believe this hotel takes pets, don't they? I mean, they don't mind.
$25 for the whole week, for the 2 nights.
So you're going to pay it up and go with it.
We're paying it up, and I'm going with it.
What a deal.
You're not going to be happy when you find out the price of drinks, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I'm bringing my own.
It's back to the old, you know, ship prices.
Kind of like the cruise days on the ship.
It's
huh?
back to those cruise prices. Folks.
I'm bringing my own.
I'm going to have to sober up?
We need to stop at Seven Oaks and get something. Do something on the way down. I'm serious. We need to, you know, because the drinks are high. I've already seen the thing. I wasn't going to spring that on anybody. But Luann says that's just the way things are now. I mean, things are just expensive now. You just can't.
That's just the way it is. Those damn Republicans.
Damn Republicans. the days of bucking a quarter beer are over, guys. It's just.
That hadn't been here for years.
It hadn't been here for years.
Unless you go to across the river where we go and drink what we drink.
Cross the Brazos and Waco. Thomas?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir, and we'll see you Friday, if not before.
Okay, sir.
All right, so back in a minute with more of the... our guest today is... Lawrence?
Lawrence of Arabia.
I can't remember his last name, but he lives in Canada, and I'm going to try to get him on the phone here in just a second. We'll be back more of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on. Thank you.
Houston, Texas. We'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show. And you're invited to the celebration. We'll begin Friday, November 5th at the Sheraton on JFK Boulevard. Saturday, we'll have special motivational speakers and panel discussions on blindness issues. Then it's Saturday night and on to live music and karaoke. Sunday morning, we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show. And we've got something special planned for Sunday afternoon. Then it's Sunday night and time for more live music and karaoke. All in all, a great weekend to meet old friends and make new ones. For more information, call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucom.net. Reservations and meeting room space are limited. It's first come, first served. Join us in Houston, Texas this November, and we'll guarantee you a weekend you'll not soon forget. 936-634-9500.
Hi, my name's Donna. And for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move to a warmer place.
Love is blind.
But, you know,
the audio magazine for singles.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
Well, sir, welcome back to the second segment of Blind Like Me. We don't, when I'm running the board, you don't get those nice announcers that come in and welcome you back and all that, because I don't know where they are.
Yeah.
Tom keeps those in his pocket or something. Anyway, we have our guest on the telephone from Canada. Lawrence, pronounce your last name, sir, for us.
Lawrence Utenier.
Utenier.
Yes, sir.
Now, what sort of nationality would that be?
It's a half German, half French, sort of mongrel kind of mix there.
Utenier. You're the first one I've ever met.
There's a few in New York City we know of, but not too many.
Well, welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, sir. And where are you located exactly?
Ottawa, Canada.
Ottawa, Canada. Been there all your life?
No, grew up just outside Toronto in a small town, and went to university in Toronto and moved here to Ottawa in 1991.
But you said that you had grown up around the lakes all your life, that you had been done a lot of fishing and that sort of thing all your life.
Well, the town I grew up in, you could do two things after school. You could hang around and watch TV, or you could take your fishing rod or your shotgun and walk out of town about half an hour and do some fishing or rabbit hunting.
Yeah.
And it was right there, right at your doorstep.
Yeah, well, I'm Phil Parr, and along with me, Don Patterson and Don Shaw are both here. And what about your eyes now? Were you born like this, or did this come on you later in life, or what happened?
I was a registered blind when I was 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
Eight.
Eight
yeah.
years.
Uh-huh. Had a deterioration of the retina. They don't know what caused it, but it started in the center. So uh-huh. I lost my ability to see the print on the chalkboard first.
Oh.
And then it just sort of spread out. And I still have about maybe just a little bit of light and dark perception in the periphery, just on the edge.
But you, at one time, you were considered a normally sighted child.
I don't think so. I think my parents sort of noticed something was up with my vision when I was maybe five. My color acuity wasn't the greatest.
Okay,
I got around pretty much without any mobility aids until I was 20. And then I got a dog.
Now, but you do know, you know when someone says red or blue, you know what those colors are. And you've had sight before, which
trees, mountains, clouds,
sure, which
big stuff.
I never
the detail could never see super good detail, but I saw the big stuff, the big picture.
I never really considered that kind of thing till I got to doing these shows, and it makes a lot of difference if you, you know, to talk to me about a mountain or a cloud is just, I have no idea what you're talking about, because I've been blind all my life. Anyway.
Yeah, I guess for me it's knowing the seeing the characteristic in a face, the different emotions in a face. I never saw that. I could see the eyes, the nose, and the mouth, but it might be some hairstyle differences and color differences, but that's not much else about, you know, face.
Yeah, that's, I'm a good partial, is it Lawrence?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, I'm Don Patterson.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to have you on the show. I'm a good partial, but that's one thing I can't tell if someone's looking at me or facial expressions. Sometimes if I'm close to a smile or something, but a lot of people go, well, they are, especially comparison. She looks just like her mother. You know, I never got the message.
Yeah. You don't know what her mother looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you know, you know?
Yeah, that's the deal.
And so you say that you went to university, to what was your field of, what did you want to do? What was your field of study?
I wanted to get into business, and then I worked in a business when I was 18 in the city, the big city.
Uh-huh.
After about 6 months, I realized the bottom line wasn't really that interesting to me as much as the people. So I got into rehabilitation, and then I did sociology and psychology.
Uh-huh.
That was my undergraduate. And then I did my master's in environmental studies, where I studied how the built environment is shaped to either integrate or throw up barriers to people with disabilities.
Well, so you finally got a master's degree.
Yeah.
What were you able to do with that?
Never really did anything environmentally with it, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I would. It'd be a nice degree to have, but I don't know what the heck you'd do. What could a blind person...
It was a good general degree. Like I said, I didn't do the green environment as much as I did the built environment, you know,
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
kind of environment we build around ourselves, buildings.
The cities, the sidewalks.
So
do you still work in the rehabilitation field? I take that's...
I've been working for the last 6 years in the field of internet connectivity and promoting the use of the internet and computers.
Right.
Yeah, amongst people who are considered in the digital divide. We put out a 1,000 accessible workstations across Canada.
All right.
For people with disabilities, we fund the employment of youth with disabilities to work in computer related jobs. And we're also doing technology testing and consulting to help address problems with mainstream technology.
Is this? Do you work for your federal government, or is this a provincial?
Fed.
So it's the whole all of Canada, right?
Yeah.
Give me a quick geography lesson. Toronto is close. Ottawa is close to where?
Ottawa is pretty much in the middle of nowhere.
How far from Detroit or New York?
The Ontario Quebec border, right? Our two provinces.
Right.
We're right on the border.
Okay.
And the Ottawa River sort of separates the Quebec side from the Ontario side, and Ottawa's right there on the river.
Okay.
And if you take that river down about 2 hours, you'll end up in Montreal, right where the Ottawa River meets the St. Lawrence River.
Right. Okay.
So we're about 2 hours drive from Montreal.
Okay. All right, that narrows it down somewhat. You're up north a little ways then.
It's pretty cool up here.
Yeah,
I bet it is.
I bet it is. Now, you said you used the word digital divide just a minute ago. What did you exactly mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that people who aren't sort of getting plugged into sort of all this new technology infrastructure. You know, wireless, cell phones, computers, and internet, and the whole knowledge economy, the e-economy, you know, e-learning and all of that stuff that's going online.
As opposed to people who are not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And what we're trying to do is make sure the people who aren't sort of jumping onto the bandwagon have an opportunity to get on it if they choose. And by using a mix of different types of technologies, we can... You know, you guys know it's possible to pretty much bridge anyone's access needs.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
With the right amount of training.
But you weren't using digital divide as the physically handicapped or handicapped and non-handicapped. Your main thrust is encouraging handicapped people to be on the right side of the digital divide, as it were.
Yeah. The kind of clientele we're looking at are people who have no to low computer skills.
Uh-huh.
Low literacy skills, mm-hmm. one reason or another, and maybe a disability or five, you know? So they usually have all three of those things going on, maybe a physical or sensory disability, maybe a learning disability or some dyslexia, and there is a result, no real experience using computers.
If you can get them to acquire some computer literacy, their chances of competing in the job market would be greatly improved. Is that what you...
Well, the job market maybe is an end goal, but just to get... the first thing they always seem to want is just to do email.
Yeah.
And go into these listservs and start chatting, you know, through the email lists. And they find people... Well, like I think we all remember getting email and how empowering that was, just the communications it opened up.
Oh, sure.
And then the access to information, to have it read to you or whatever, and, you know, to be able to store it and retrieve it and find it yourself.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. It's so liberating.
Oh, yeah.
So, Lawrence, you said y'all had several workstations throughout. Tell me that number again.
We got 1,000 of them set up. Across Canada.
So somebody, who maintains these? Y'all have technicians in different areas, are these manned by an instructor, or
One of our programs is the Community Access Program,
right,
where we set up, as long as it's open to the public, we give them money to buy a computer,
right,
and set it up. And what we found when we first started that program in 96, 97 is that they were popping up all over across Canada. We had about 5,000 of these CAP sites before we knew it, all spread out. First we did the rural and remote parts of Canada. We stayed out of the cities.
Hmm.
And then we got into the cities in 99, 2000, and they asked me to come in and help make sure that these things were more accessible, because, you know, none of them were really accessible. Everyone was just buying the plain Jane vanilla,
right,
you know,
sure,
computer, right?
Yeah.
So we needed to start to look at. So we had this suite of assistive technologies developed called Web for All, and we put that on the computers with one big install CD, puts on a whole bunch of different assistive technologies, and a thing called a configurator, which allows people to set and choose their preferences, whether they want the screen read aloud or fonts magnified or whatever, and they save that onto this little plastic smart card we give them. It's about the size of a credit card.
Okay.
And then whenever they go up to one of our Web for All stations, they can just put the Web for All, the smart card, into the card reader.
Okay, and then the computer knows.
And that reads the preferences off there and reconfigures the computer to be just the way they like it.
That's wonderful.
That is.
That's...
And when they take the card out, it goes back to being just a regular old computer, that's so everyone else can use it.
Now, right? Did you call this Web Crawl?
Web for All.
Web for All.
Yeah, we call it four because there was four different assistive technologies we were bundling with it.
We don't have that down here in the liberated U.S. of A., do we?
No.
I haven't ever heard of it.
Are y'all using any of the commonly known, like JAWS, or what are your four main programs that you use?
Well, we kept the price down pretty low by using IBM Homepage Reader.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Opera.
Okay.
Which has some screen magnification powers in it.
Yeah.
An on-screen keyboard called a Visual Dynamic Keyboard.
Right.
Okay.
And a text reading system called eReader made by Cast.
Right.
Same guys that made Bobby.
Right.
And we put those four packages on it.
So y'all just bypassed all of the biggies, and we're glad of that.
Yeah, I love it.
That's
neat.
We wanted to do Web for All. We didn't want to do Workstation for All e-learning and, you know, school Workstation for All or whatever. You know, the schools and the workplaces, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
Right.
Sure it is.
And we said, let's just focus on the web for now.
Now the screen reader that you have is, did you say IBM?
IBM Homepage Reader.
How does that compare to our JAWS or WindowEyes?
According to the AFB,
yeah,
it's as good as JAWS and WindowEyes on the Internet.
and it's $149
Yeah,
bucks,
that's
right?
The biggie right there.
How much is it?
$150 Yeah.
Well, see, the other thing we did is because we bought 1,000 of them, we were able to put each of our one of our web crawl systems with the card readers and the trackballs. We also gave a trackball and the installer and then the braille and large print and audio training materials and everything. And all the licenses for the e-reader, homepage reader, and all that cost us about $125 US a package.
That's great.
That's
wonderful. That's great. We need to do some looking into this, Donald. Don's our
computer. Yeah, what a deal.
So we need to look into that. It says JAWS is just, I mean, it's, you know, upgrade just, every 2 years for $200 or $300 and $900.
Yeah,
it's just you know, and I don't mind complaining about it. It's our show. I pay, you know, I own this. I'll say what I want to say.
Yeah,
and if they don't like it, they can take us off. But it's just too expensive. They're just raping blind people, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to get PowerPoint and Word and Excel and all that, well, I don't know.
One quick question. When you have this, so I'm a young student with all the qualifications that meet you, and I have my smart card, and I go to one of your stations and use it, your computer, can I purchase this if I had the wherewithal at your discounted rate and put it on my home computer got one?
No, because what we did is we told the IBMs and those people that when we bought this stuff from them, we would just use it on public workstations.
Okay.
And because of that, they were almost ready to give it to us for free because they knew we were going to put some training dollars into training people, new customers, on their products, right? So they were quite eager to help us out in that regard.
Well, describe one of your workplaces, like a place in a library or in a where would one find one of your computers? An e-cafe
What we found is libraries are our sort of second tier of access.
Right.
Because traditionally, libraries are places where you got to be quiet, and it's not a good place to get training. Right.
Right.
So what we did is we went into sort of communities. We got all the disability groups and organizations in the community to meet with us. And then these computer places where you would normally find computers, like school labs and libraries, and they came out too, and we said, look, we'll give you the systems, as many packages as you want for your community, as long as you put them in places where the public can access them. And the disability organization says, we'll do the training. And the libraries was, you know, and schools said that we'll provide the, you know, nice long hours and warm, accessible venues.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can go to your disability center, get the training, get the card, get the training, and then you can just go to the library after that. And you don't have to worry about the librarian not knowing anything about technology.
Because you know.
You just need to show, you know, they just need to point out which one has the web parole on it.
Yeah, web parole.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we're a little bit limited on time. We haven't talked any about the main reason we called you, and one of the reasons we called you is you are quite a handyman. So tell us about your deck and planters and things that you built.
Well, last summer I got this old house here, and I had a pretty good sized backyard, not huge. But I figured I could squeeze in a 24-foot above-ground pool.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. I wanted to install it, but my wife said no. She didn't want to have a shallow end. And leveling these is a big deal, eh?
Yeah.
So we got the installers to come in, and it cost me $800, but I guess it was worth it. But then I built the deck off the back of the house from the kitchen over to the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So the same height, right?
Yeah.
Right up to the... So I built the deck in two stages, sort of. I got the one half of the deck coming off the kitchen through the patio door, and I built some planters around that part and the stairs going down to the driveway. And then you go through on the deck, there's a lattice wall, and you go through a doorway made out of lattice to the other side of the deck, which gives you full access to the pool so you can just run and jump off the deck right into the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So that way I didn't have to worry about, you know, kids just walking out my kitchen patio door and falling into my pool, me not knowing about it.
Sure.
And so I wanted that secure. I put in, I want also to meet the code, I put a railing around the top of the pool itself, except for where it met the deck. And I built that out of plastic downspout, and I bolted that to the legs of the pool, and then I screwed plastic vinyl tracking around the tops of those posts,
uh-huh.
and I dropped in that 2-foot by 8-foot plastic privacy lattice, and that sort of made extended the height of the pool walls up another 2 feet. It gave them a total of 6'6",
uh-huh.
so no kids could sort of climb in and drop in over the side of the pool, right?
Yeah, all right.
And then, so I had that beat, and nice and private in there. When you jump into the pool, you know, and you're standing around, the top of the lattice is above your head, so even the neighbors in their yards don't even. I didn't have to worry about a privacy.
Oh, you can't see through this fence. Lattice. You can't. You can't see through it.
Not really. It's got holes about 3/4 inch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then on the tops of the poles, I put those Noma garden lights, and I just screwed those onto the tops of my plastic posts, you know?
Yes, sir.
I like that idea with the post, with the gutter downspouts as the post.
Yeah, I found they were a little weak, though, so what I had to do was sort of drop some 2x2s and
down the center
them to give them a little bit more rigidity, eh?
Yeah, down the center of them.
But in the end, they still look nice. They're all nice and white and clean. And
sure.
Oh, sure.
And then I put my planter idea around the sitting part of the deck on the kitchen side, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to just put up a typical railing because my wife likes plants. And since I pretty much took up the whole backyard with the pool, there goes a lot of the garden, right?
Yeah.
So I put 16 feet of planter in there in an L shape. And I used sort of the same 1x6 decking. I ripped the edge, though, with my table saw on a bit of an angle, so the planter sort of tapers up. I start with a 2x6 base on the bottom, and then double 1x6 deck boards coming up on a bit of a taper, so it's about 5.5 inches wide at the bottom, but it tapers up to about 9 inches wide at the top.
Okay.
And then I drill half-inch holes for the 2x6. And then through the deck underneath, and I ran half-inch plastic tube through that, because, you know, sometimes you get a heavy rain, your planters overflow, right? Especially if you have a couple weeks of it.
So you put a built-in drain.
Yeah. And before I finished the drains and filled it with soil, I was asking people, what should I do for waterproofing? I mean, I used the pressure-treated lumber, but I know, I mean, if you've got a lot of water and dirt in there, it's not going to last very long. And these things are pretty permanent, and I didn't really want to have to rebuild them in 5 years, right?
Yeah.
And people were telling me, well, line them with plastic. And I'm thinking, plastic. You know, how am I going to staple the plastic and have plastic hanging over the edge and the tops of the planters? This is going to look terrible. So I went to the hardware store, and I went to the Canadian Tire, and I was looking for this rubber paint. And they used to sell rubber paint. You could paint it onto your hand grips and of your shovels and things like that and make them more.
Yeah.
But they don't have that anymore. So then one guy at our Canadian Tire store, I love Canadian Tire, they sell everything. And he said, why don't you just get some undercoating? So I went over to the car section. I picked up a quart of undercoating for $6. And we smeared that in with a stiff brush into the inside of the planters,
uh-huh.
and it's almost like an eighth of an inch thick of this heavy rubber tar.
Wow.
I love it. That's wonderful.
What a deal.
That's great. To hell with this plastic. Who needs it? Staple holes through it, and it's going to leak, and it's dirt.
Yeah.
That dirt's in there now. I'm never taking it out.
And you got water under the plastic, and so you just, you know, there's just no way it would work.
Exactly. You got the water between the plastic and the wood. It's going to just... Yeah, that's it.
So,
Lawrence, did you overlap? So the way I take it, you have side. It's like overlapping siding to build your flower boxes.
No, I. You know that 1x6 floorboards. They're sort of have a rounded edge.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I ripped that off with my table saw.
Right.
I got you.
Just a little half inch of each side on an angle, so that I could build up on an angle, and then I just put the two pieces together.
You stacked them.
I stacked them.
Yeah, okay.
But that's a bit tricky because you had to do one board at a time.
Right.
And then I had to use all four of my clamps, eh, for each 8-foot board.
Right.
Clamp it down, screw it into place, and it'll make it nice and stable.
Yeah.
And then get the next one and clamp it on and screw it into place and toenail through the edges. And,
yeah.
And but, you know, before I never got a perfect joint. But what I did is before I put the undercoating on, I duct taped it. like duct tape the joints,
works.
Right?
It works.
And that undercoat stuck to the duct tape like cement.
Absolutely. Not that bad. Duct tape will be there 1,000 years from now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You'd have thought the undercoating would have taken care, would have sealed the joints, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, except some of those cracks were like a quarter inch. Eh?
Oh, dear. Okay. Duct tape them.
Yeah.
So I duct taped all the joints, every joint.
Okay.
Yeah, just to make sure, you know, so I wouldn't have blobs of undercoat seeping through and just to make sure it was good and, you know, it stuck good. It dried up nice and firm.
I'd like to go get a quart just to see what it's like. I got to
know.
I'd love it. That's great. And so you did all this in, and what sort of tools do you have? You alluded to the fact you have a table saw.
I got this cheapo table saw that I set up on the driveway. And I'm ripping these 16-foot deck boards. I'm too stupid to cut them to the right length first, right? And these things are as crooked as a banana.
Yeah.
So I got my son backing up, holding one of it. I'm shoving it through on one end. My son's grabbing the other end and walking backwards with it. And I'm trying to say, go straight back as I'm getting near the end of the board and the table saw is starting to bind.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until afterwards I realized that on the ends of the boards is where they sort of hook out, you know? So he's going straight back, but my boards were crooked.
Yep.
So I had to sort of shift around the table saw a little bit as we're cutting and to keep the motor from binding. But we managed to rip it okay. I hate the table saw, though. It's not my favorite tool at all.
Mine either. Mine is made by a company called Pro Tool, and it's not a bad table saw. It's just a little cheapy.
Yeah.
But anything over about 5 feet long, you're in trouble. You can't, you know, and the fence only locks at one end, and, you know.
Yeah, I know. I had to clamp my fence into place with extra clamps because it moved the first few times. Yeah.
You know, let me tell you, you've mentioned clamps a couple of times. We need to devote a portion of a show in the future to the value of clamps.
I sure do.
I'm in the process to building a garage. I don't know if you're a regular listener.
Yeah, I listened to the 93, yeah.
Right, and so I had... two by 12s, 20 feet long, and one was a good board. You know, if I'd have picked the second one, I wouldn't have bought it, but the lumber yard brought it to me, and I had to clamp them top to bottom to even them up you know, over this span. And man, let me tell you, I bought a big pipe clamp. It didn't cost $22. You have to buy the clamp for $12 and a piece of pipe for $6 or $7.
Yeah.
And then I guarantee you could move a house with this sucker.
Well, you have the clamps for life, too, because you can't really break them.
Right.
And they're so, I mean, when I put my deck together, I must have put 10,000 screws into that deck, all those ceramic screws, right? And I never used any nails.
Yeah.
And because you don't use nails, you can't pound boards together that are a little crooked.
Right.
I mean, if you screw them together, there's always going to be a gap, so sometimes you have to clamp it down and then put your screws in.
Yeah. Right. So you use your cordless drill in all drywall screws?
Oh, yeah, like these, you get these decking screws there dipped in ceramic. So they're green, I guess. That's what I'm told. And I use those. And I use those underneath the deck, too. I was talked into paying a little bit extra money to get these tracks, these metal tracks. They're 45 inches long. You screw them to your joists, and then you put your deck board on top, and then you screw with a 1 5/8 screws, you screw from underneath through these brackets into the bottom of the deck board, and they suck the deck board right down to the joist.
That would work,
It would work. But your deck, you could stand under it or lay under it?
You know, that's what I was thinking, too. You have to have room, and I did have room, but in reality... As long as you can stand between the joists, you're only putting one board down at a
time,
right?
That's true. I got your point. So you can stand up and then reach your hands under there. Of course, a sighted guy would have had to get down under and see it.
That's it.
You didn't have to.
Not at all.
Yeah, that's what I told her. I did a little interview for KTRH this week, and she was talking about how you do things. And I told her, when I work under the sink, I don't have to put my head under there. I can sit with my chin on the sink talking to you, taking the trap apart.
Yep.
You know, because I don't have to see that. I don't.
No, that's it. And you don't have to. I mean, these things, these brackets, they got the holes already pre-drilled through the metal bracket. So
there
you don't
you
have
go.
You just put the screw in, you feel it, make sure it's touching the wood.
All right,
and
now,
just put the screwdriver to it.
Now what? Of course, this is one of the largest honeydew projects ever attempted by mankind.
Huh?
And what did you? What was your the ultimate reward that you gave yourself for doing this massive project, Lawrence? Tell us.
Well, we had a little bit of a cold summer here, eh? And I was talking to the pool guy this in September when I was getting the chemicals to put the pool up and close it down, and. He said they did a survey. They said the average pool owner in Ottawa used their pool five times. And I'm thinking, that's it. I said, you know, we're thinking we're going to sit in that pool all summer long. So I said to my wife, I said, honey, you know, we can't depend on the pool just for our own summer recreation. We got to have another toy.
Yeah.
And she was so impressed with my planner, she let me buy this 1981 17-foot speedboat. Well,
wow.
She thinks it's a speedboat. What she doesn't realize, it's a cleverly disguised fishing boat, but we haven't let the cat out of the bag on that one yet.
Yeah, well, maybe she won't hear the show.
How far from what the one of the lakes are, the Great Lakes, from...
I'm not taking it out in the big lake.
Yeah.
On the rivers around here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And you got a trailer with it and everything?
No,
and so...
I didn't get a trailer. Didn't have a trailer. I had, and the guy who sold it to me said, there's 100 trailers around. You'll have no trouble. Well, it took me 2 weeks to pin down a trailer.
but you have one now.
No, I rented it. Oh. $35 a day.
And you have, but do you have something to pull it with?
Nope. No, I got one of these Subarus, and I looked at the weight rating on it to put a hitch. The hitch would have cost me $500, and it still wouldn't have been strong enough to pull the boat and a trailer.
Never. Ever.
And the trailer, second-hand trailer, would have cost more than the boat.
Yeah.
So I rented the trailer.
Uh-huh.
I had my buddy lend me his old truck, and we went and got the boat with the truck and the trailer. Now, the guy that rented me the trailer, he turned out to be a pretty good fella, and he said, look, he's in Ottawa. He comes to Ottawa every weekend. And he said, next spring, let me know. He said, I'll come with the trailer. And we just dropped it in my garage on some old rubber tires, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with one of these roll-on, roll-off trailers. He said, I'll take your boat out of your garage and pop it into the river for you for $50. So I figured, that's a good deal, and that's what I was hoping for, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of buying a trailer, I'm going to pay the docking fee. And just leave it docked all summer.
Leave it all summer.
Just leave it there all summer, and then take it out in the winter. That's probably the best idea.
Okay. Yeah, because then it's always there. You don't have to do all that hooking up. And
well, that's right. And if you can get somebody to take you where the boat is, you don't have to disturb Mama on Sunday to drive you.
Well, I found a marina 5 minutes away from here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get my hands on a tandem bike because my son, he's not old enough to drive yet, but he's old enough to drive a boat. So we're going to do some fishing next.
Lawrence, you're just having too much fun. That's just it. We're coming up there. You've got to quit this.
I'll take you fishing. Oh, no,
listen,
I'll take you speedboating.
Speedboating. I'm sorry, we don't want to mention fishing. Listen, you're a wonderful fella, and I'm glad to make your acquaintance.
Well, you know what? I wish I could be in Houston this coming weekend with you guys. But
you could be if you wanted to be.
From all of us here in Canada who love your show and are on the list, have a good time. We'll be thinking of you down there.
We will, sir. And we'll talk at a later date. This will be on Friday night and all day Saturday, sir.
Fantastic.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Back with more of our little... I turned the wrong thing down. Back with more of our... What am I doing? Our blind handyman show in just a minute. Hang on.
You can cry a million tears.
My name's Donna, and for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move
love
to a warmer place.
Love is blind.
But, you know,
the audio magazine
you know
for singles.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll-free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
On November 7th, 2004, in Houston, Texas, we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show. And you're invited to the celebration.
We'll begin Friday, November 5th at the Sheraton on JFK Boulevard. Saturday, we'll have special motivational speakers and panel discussions on blindness issues.
Then it's Saturday night and on to live music and karaoke.
Sunday morning, we'll record our 100th Blind Handyman Show.
And we've got something special planned for Sunday afternoon.
Then it's Sunday night and time for more live music and karaoke.
All in all, a great weekend to meet old friends and make new ones.
For more information, call 936-634-9500 or email philparr@txucom.net. Reservations and meeting room space are limited. It's first come, first serve.
Join us in Houston, Texas this November, and we'll guarantee you a weekend you'll not soon forget.
936-634-9500.
Allie, one thing about going to Houston is you'll never have to hear that again. That particular announcement, you'll never hear that again.
It's history, isn't it?
It is history. All right, 56:30, we got to start the theme. We've killed another one, guys. It's 99. The next one will be in, let's see, we're at 50.
56 minutes.
I'm going.
Just a few seconds.
You? I'm going to punch it up here. And, so we'll be in Houston, I guess, for the next. Oh, I didn't cue it. Oh, good Lord.
Uh-huh.
Could be in trouble.
There you bet we are.
Okay,
we are.
Saved by the bell.
Saved by the bell.
That's right.
Well, yeah, man, Houston's almost.
I guess while this is running, this show is running, we'll be in the big city paying $6.50 a beer.
Yeah, we will be, won't we?
Yeah.
Man, what a deal that's going to be.
Yes, sir.
Where have you gone?
Oh,
you?
No, I'm taking my ice chest.
Taking your ice chest.
On that $6.50.
Yeah.
That's what the guy said when the baseball went on strike. He said, God, he's really going to miss it. Where else could you go buy a $36 six-pack?
That's about right. About the way it's going to be. But Luann says that's the way it is everywhere.
Yeah, it's
be
the way
great
it is.
Will be the complaining by those blind people, won't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Terrible. They wouldn't cut us any slack, huh?
They wouldn't cut us any slack about anything. I'm telling them at the end of this, we may do this again next year, but we ain't doing it at your hotel.
Yes.
I'm going to wait till we're through before I tell them.
I would.
Yeah. They haven't cut us any slack on anything. I'll tell you about it later. They actually kind of. Anyway, we're there, and they know they got us, so there's nothing we can do about it, you know? All right, sir. We'll see you in Houston, Texas for our 100th show. Tom Houston was absent today. He didn't want to get his wheelchair muddy, and I don't blame him. You know?
Yeah.
He needs to get his mud grippers on there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don Patterson. Don
yes, sir.
Yeah. Guys, I'll see y'all in Houston, Texas. Phil Parr, right. I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.